This is Mark.
And this is Kenny.
And this is All I Want to Do is Talk About Madonna.
Album 14, track 13.
Inside Out. Mike Dean has arrived.
Well, he's been around, but now he's taken center stage.
This is the first Madonna Mike Dean producing collaboration.
And I have to say, I feel like he tried too hard.
It's a bombastic production, and I find it. It wants to be an anthem. It wants to be a plea. It wants Madonna wants you to meet her where she is once again. But it's so heavy.
Yes.
And it winds up being kind of plodding.
Yes, I agree completely. And I am a fan of Mike Dean.
I really am not a fan of Mike Dean. I know, but we should unpack that a little bit. But you finish your thought.
No, I've talked about it. I like that he's a stoner. I like that kind of straight guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's smart. And I actually think that really, really, he just overdid it on this song. Like, he overproduced it. Like, for me, it's like, first of all, there's a lot of problems with the song. I feel like the verses are not good. I think the melody is terrible. The coming every down, everything, yeah. It's just terrible. It's really bad. It's maybe a C.
Do you think she riffed the lyrics on like in the studio? She didn't come in with stuff this time, or do you think she had like the idea of "Let Me Love You from the Inside Out" and then kind of built it? Because it does feel very kind of like slapdashy and kind of
I think jazzy.
Like she's like riffing as she sings, because the vocal line is just so, it is lazy, and it is not lazy, it's casual.
Yeah, I want to say that they had the chorus and the bridge, mm-hmm. and that those were so strong, because I do think that the chorus is really pretty. I think in the production we don't hear it as well, but actually in the demo it comes through a lot prettier. It almost sounds like a ghost town to me. It's a little lighter, and the bridge I think is almost a great bridge. You know, it could be stronger, but I think that I think they didn't have a melody, and so she was just kind of filling in. But it's like it hits a bad place in her voice. She sounds whiny.
Yeah.
It's not catchy. It's like you said, really heavy.
Yeah.
And then I feel like, but I kind of like that, like the bass that he creates there is kind of cool.
Yeah.
But then when we go into the chorus, it's like he has all that like distorted beats, and it really is very unappealing to the ear.
Well, I want to go back and say that Mike Dean, imagine what it would be like if the man wore pants with a belt. Because I feel like he is the kind, he brings a sweatpant energy to the studio as a stoner straight guy. And I was in Williamsburg on Friday night having dinner with friends, and everyone is in sweatpants. It's Friday night in Williamsburg. Everyone was in sweatpants. Like this casual baggy pant world that we're living in has got to end soon. Please God, God, by fall, I can do the summer, but by fall, I don't want to see your underpants as they droop. I want a belt and I want fitted clothes. And the reason I bring that up is that leads this kind of like sloppiness to this song, because it's like, oh, it sounds so cool. And so, but you know, we've got our pants open and it's very like casual. The other thing that I think is just, I agree with you 100% about the vocal. There's an effort to it because it is in that weird place. So she's never able to luxuriate in the melody that's there or the chorus. It's like, let's just get through it to get to the next hard thing I have to sing.
Yes. This is a hard song. Yeah. And I don't like that about it. But I want to go back because I totally agree with you on this topic. I think you know I happen to like a baggy pant because I'm a big thighed boy and a big bud boy, and I need a lot of space.
Know about your derriere and the space you need in your pants, Kenny. Yeah. I'm not saying a baggy pant is not appropriate. I'm saying a baggy pant, a formless pant, sweat pant, a casual pant. It is Friday night in New York City.
No, you should be dressed.
You should be dressed. You're not going to the gym. Yes. You're not coming from the gym. You're like, put on pants. And there is something like people just act different.
Yes.
And they behave differently. And Mike Dean, I think, wears tracksuits and sweatpants. And it's like, what? And so it gives everything a lower stakes moment.
Right. He's
song,
like,
this song requires high, because it's anthemic. And they're like she's pleading for vulnerability. She's pleading for like, I want to know what you're all about. Like she wants the connection and intimacy, which for Madonna is high stakes. But everything about the song is like,
right. I agree. Well, I understand what you're saying. I totally understand. I mean, he's sort of like an Adam Sandler, John Fetterman.
Totally.
Like, come on, guys, put some clothes on for an event. Like, dress up. But
you own million-dollar homes. You can afford a belt.
Or get tail. If you know, part of the reason why sometimes I don't wear pants with a belt is because I maybe have eaten too much the last couple weeks and they don't fit as comfortably.
Oh,
and so I need a pant that has a little space. But
you
even so, at his level of success, he can have things tailored to fit his body.
I agree wholeheartedly.
But I want to go back to the song itself. Like, let's strip away all the things we don't like, which are substantial.
Yeah, sure.
And let's just like highlight some of the things like you were saying about what the song is about. I think that there's something to me that this is a little bit of a callback to Hold Tight.
Yeah.
There's Definitely. Something, do you know what I mean? There's that similar energy of like, let your walls crumble, let me love you. It's not, you know, it's not a dirty song. It's a song about like, I'm here to see all the scars, all the darkness. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be here for you. Let me love all the parts of you. That's really beautiful idea.
Well, I agree with you. And it makes sense that this was written with Jason Evigan and Sean Douglas and Evan Bogart, the guys who wrote Ghost Town, the you know, our Nepo baby trio. They're back doing this song. And that feels, it has... a lot of that apocalyptical, like, who's going to be in the lifeboat with me as the world crumbles around me, and I need to know what you're all about, and we're full of doubt and all of so that's where I was kind of like, oh, this is that.
Yes.
That kind of same frame of mind of like community and connection, and I can't do it alone, so you have to come and I'm going to reveal all of my scars to you, beautiful scars perhaps, but scars. And we're at that stage where we have to love each other and accept each other for all of our flaws and all, which I think is an important thing in the Madonna kind of psychology that we haven't heard her do yet.
Yes, I think you're totally right. I think it makes the case for why the song ended up on the official album.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? As opposed to even like the deluxe or super deluxe or the outtakes or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a fail. And I think I wonder if Diplo had produced it or if she had produced it on her own, like she did with Hold Tight. Again, I think that the demo is so much better. It's just so
Talk about it. It has it's got all those synths and that fat bass.
Yeah.
And there's an echo on it though that makes Madonna's voice disappears more in the demo. But the thing I love about it is I love when, and I thought of you immediately and I couldn't wait to talk to you about it, was when everything drops out and it's just the guitar.
Yes.
Let's listen to a little bit of that. Let's cross the line. So far we won't come back. Can't read your mind. I shouldn't have to ask. Cynical smile. Time to take off your mask. I wanna love you from the inside out.
Mm. Beautiful.
I love it. Dramatic. It's so dramatic.
Yes, it's real. It's truly dramatic, as opposed to the strings that show up in the Mike Dean version, which are there, like they're just kind of there. They don't really elevate it. Like if you're going to put strings in a song like this, they should have had an orchestra. Like they should have really built it. But yes, you're right. That I love that. And then I love also in the demo that the "Let Me Love You from the Inside Out," when she speaks it, there's like nothing there.
Yes. Yes. And that's very erotica. That was very, but it doesn't, and I love it, but it's not for this song. Like that, like the throw, like Di DiPaolo deserves to come out. Oh, I'd love a Di DiPaolo moment in every Madonna record. This was not the moment to bring, you know, scratchy, sexy.
Well, Dita's already come. Right. No, but I didn't think it was that. I thought that was just, I didn't think it was a Dita moment.
You didn't? I mean, that was the waiting voice.
I think that's just Madonna's voice.
But that's the thing that's the dissonance in it is this idea that she's like pleading in this sweet high register and then she drops it. Let me love you. So it's like we're not giving her what she wants in that voice. She's like, let me try another voice.
She's tactics.
She's a character playing tactics.
Yeah. She's like, okay, I'm going to switch tactics, guys. Let me try it in seduction.
What I'm curious about is how much spontaneity happens in that studio, because like I'm thinking about those heavy sighs that become the beat or that back and forth voice, one more time, that kind of stuff. Like, is that stuff that's happening in the studio? Is that stuff that they're just like they recorded Madonna like heavy breathing and then they just kind of made a loop out of it? Like, how does that stuff happen? Because sometimes I think it's planned and he gets all that together before she shows up. Other times I'm like, let's just try things and loop it and see where we... Do you know what I mean?
I do. Well, I have two thoughts on this. One is I think that the breath stuff, I think that that's like a Madonna requirement. Like, I think she's like, always have my breath in the songs in some way, if you can. There is something about her breath in the music that always elevates it. So I do think that's something that they're always listening for and that people now know, especially people who work with her, like, what if we played with this? So I think that that... I don't think that was something they talked about, but something that she likes, you know, or was like, add a breath track. You know, I'm sure you know what I'm saying? I think the one more times was part of the Mike Dean overproduction, though I kind of like it. But
it
I'm
gives
also
the
like,
song some like energy.
Yeah. Especially at the end when it's like, do we need her to say, "Let me love you from the inside out" one more time? But there it is.
In case you didn't get the point, let me do it one more time.
Also, it's kind of a lie because he says one more time, but then we do it like seven more times.
I think you're not making a strong case for your Mike Dean love.
No. I've told you I'm disappointed in him for this song. But like I said, it was his first one, and I think he just like overshot. And you know, he gets better on Madame X.
Well, that's a whole box I don't want to open today.
A whole box of wigs.
So, yeah. So I loved that you just started randomly. So yesterday was Pride in Brooklyn, and I was out and about, and Kenny was sending me photographs of Madonna in the wigs from Madame X era. I'm like, what is Kenny doing today where he's digging through the archives?
No, it's not even digging through the archives. It's like scrolling. And of course, because, you know, the only things that show up on my scrolls are Madonna, men half naked. and or fully naked, and cats.
And cats. So, yeah, that's your brand. That's your brand. Well, so, it was an anniversary. Everyone's celebrating a fucking anniversary.
That's what I was like.
It's
like shit.
6 years since Madame Mac. I think it was the sixth anniversary or something.
The stupid
bullshit
anniversary. Yeah, exactly. And I was like, oh my God, once we finish this album, we have to go into Madame X and look at these wigs. We're going to have to talk about the wigs.
We're going to have to talk about the wigs. I love the wigs. I love that dark haired, like, you know, writer, Virginia Woolf woman that she is in that one. Love that. Yeah, I love that look.
All right.
The only anniversary I care about is I'm Breathless Music from an Inspired by the Film Dick Tracy. It's 35 years. Congratulations.
Oh my God. Wow. That album is finally eligible to become president.
I know. Thank God. Thank God. And it should be. I think we should do a write-in campaign. I want to know what you're all about. You're beautiful when you're broken down. The song was never a single.
No.
It was never performed live.
Nope.
It's one of those album tracks that should stay an album track.
I don't even know if it should have been on the album.
What would you have swapped this out with from the stuff we're about to embark on? Would you have kept this?
No, I wouldn't have kept it.
You know, it's interesting that we've not really talked about the ordering on this album very much.
Yeah.
And kind of how it flows together, because it just really is so jarring and weird. Yeah. And I was like trying to think about like, well, what would we put in its place that would flow into Wash All Over Me?
Well, Wash All Over Me is in the wrong place too. Well, and certainly the wrong version of it, which we'll talk about next episode.
With a special guest, probably.
Hell yeah. No, I just would have cut it. And I would have obviously had a different version of Wash All Over Me, but I would have put Best, I think I've said this before, I would have done Holy Water into Best Night or Holy Water into Sex. So I think Sex, I wouldn't have minded Sex on the album. I actually kind of like that song.
Oh gosh, Kenny, we're going to get there.
Well, what about you?
I like the idea of Best Night into I like the kind of come down after Holy Water into Best Night into Wash All Over Me, and then the Avicii version of Wash All Over Me with that dance thing at the end, like that explosion at the end.
Would have been a great ending to this
record. Great ending to this record. And it would kind of, because I love when Madonna kind of has like a kind of come down.
Yes.
Music has a great come down.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
I venture to say, and we'll talk about this more next week with Wash All Over Me, but if the Avicii version had been the final track on the album and it had been done at 14 and maybe we didn't hear these other tracks, or if, say, Messiah had been the 15th track, which I think is really an iconic track. Not iconic, Mark.
Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you. An excellent track.
Thank you.
But the Wash All Over Me Avicii version, if that had ended the album, I think that this album would be considered differently.
Oh, 100%. 100%. I think this part of the album starts to make it feel like she's running out of energy and ideas.
Yes.
And Inside Out. And I think the idea, like we just said, like the idea about Inside Out is really interesting and cool, but the energy that she's bringing to the track and Mike Dean is bringing to it lends a kind of like slowness towards the end.
Yes.
Like we're running out of breath at the end of the race. And
yes, yes.
And yet we have like 12 more songs to go. Oh, till next time.
Bye.
from the inside out. Yeah,